The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
A distinguished military leader, influential public servant, and the first African-American to become U.S. Secretary of State. And for a time, Colin Powell was seen by many as a leading contender to be the first black U.S. president. But one major stain on his legacy, his presentation to the United Nations justifying the proposal to invade Iraq.
I cannot tell you everything that we know, but what I can share with you, when combined with what all of us have learned over the years, is deeply troubling. What you will see is an accumulation of facts and disturbing patterns of behavior. The facts and Iraq's behavior demonstrate that Saddam Hussein and his regime have made no effort to disarm as required by the international community. Indeed, the facts and Iraq's behavior show that Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction.
Well, Colin Powell passed away yesterday at the age of 84 following complications brought on by COVID-19. He had a number of underlying illnesses. To discuss his enduring and complex legacy, I'm joined now by Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham, Editor-in-Chief of EA Worldview, Scott Lucas. Scott, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
It's a very mixed kind of legacy, isn't it? Because he was a very distinguished military man, won the Medal of Freedom twice, had everything going for him, and then fell foul of, I suppose, the cabinet of George W. Bush, who definitely wanted to get into Iraq by hook or by crook.
I think you've nailed it, Pat, in that you have that double legacy of Colin Powell. And I think it's reflected depending on which news source you go today. If you go to most American news sources, they are producing eulogies for Colin Powell, which note, you know, more than 40 years of military and public service, that are noting his status as a black American, a child of immigrants growing up in the Bronx, growing up poor, but who rises to become national security advisor, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State. But then if you read the press out of Iraq, you will get those references to Colin Powell's role in an administration which was involved in the killing of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis in that attempt to remove Saddam Hussein from power. And indeed, if you read the news out of Latin America or out of the Middle East, they might note Colin Powell's service in the Reagan administration of the 1980s, which in pursuit of U.S. foreign policy might have challenged the Soviet Union around the world, but also was involved in some very nasty activity from Nicaragua to El Salvador to Afghanistan to Israel and Palestine. So at the end of the day, Pat, Colin Powell was a loyal soldier, and because he was a loyal soldier, he carried out American foreign policy, whether it was good, bad, or very, very bad, and indeed, he carried it out on that fateful day in February 2003 when he knew that those facts were dubious or probably lies, and said that you had to attack Saddam Hussein to remove the mythical chemical weapons that he was holding.
Now, you probably remember that presentation, as do I. I watched it live, and I just found it incredible. It was not believable, and yet the world went through this notion of finding very superficial evidence in some way credible.
But the point is, Pat, that a lot of Americans found it believable at a time when the Bush administration had resolved to go to war irrespective of what the situation was. And some of those Americans found it believable because it was Colin Powell. It wasn't Donald Rumsfeld, the very aggressive, loose with the truth Secretary of Defense. It wasn't President Bush, who was not held in high regard for his intellectual capacity. It was this man who had served his country with distinction, very intelligent, very capable, who became the face and voice of not just U.S. foreign policy, but this supposed moral and security imperative that was all built on a lie.
Now, he had, obviously, in the first Gulf War, which he had responsibility for as a military man, he had pulled back after Kuwait was liberated from Saddam Hussein's intentions. The notion was they could have gone all the way and got rid of Saddam Hussein, but he said no. Enough is enough. This is as far as we should go. It became the Powell doctrine. But obviously, when it came to the Second Gulf War, under the son of George Bush Sr., there was a different tactic, although the idea of overwhelming force, shock and awe, was still very much the technique.
I think that's really interesting, Pat, to bring up both Gulf Wars, because in 1991, you're absolutely right that the U.S. military advised the politicians, look, if we try to go all the way for Baghdad, this could get very bloody. Saddam Hussein's forces will hold out, but also that you will have a fragmented country. And one of the casualties of that war, many of the casualties of that war, in their thousands, tens of thousands, were the Iraqi Kurds who had been spurred by the United States to rise up against Saddam Hussein and then were betrayed by them when Saddam Hussein went and cut them down as he stayed in power. Well, here you are more than a decade later, and this time the Bush administration's not going to stop. Right or wrong, they are going to make sure that Hussein is toppled, and therefore you have this massive military bombardment, the shock and awe, which of course forces Saddam Hussein out, but means of course that thousands of Iraqi civilians die during that campaign, and then it becomes tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands who die or who are injured because of, indeed, a broken Iraq. So the Powell Doctrine, you break it, you buy it. He witnesses it playing out in Iraq, except at the end of the day, Americans didn't buy it. They lost almost 5,000 of their young men and young women, but it was Iraqis who bought the broken country to the detriment, I think, of the U.S. portrayal of being on a glorious mission to liberate the country.
Could it have been different if Colin Powell, who very shortly thereafter admitted this was a shameful thing that he had done to go along with the Bush administration, if he had stood up to them, would it have made any difference? Would they still have gone in using someone else to persuade the United Nations? Or could Powell have made a difference, and might not we have seen the chaos that we currently witness today all across the Middle East?
You know, it might have, Pat. I know we're not supposed to deal as, you know, in counterfactuals, but in the United Kingdom, which was America's closest ally in pursuit of that war under Tony Blair, a man named Robin Cook had resigned as foreign secretary. He took a moral stand. And there were many within the UK, across the parties, and amongst the public, more than a million of whom marched in February 2003 against the war, who said this cannot stand. And it got so close by the start of March, less than a month after Colin Powell's presentation, that Tony Blair effectively had to whip the cabinet into support of the war after Donald Rumsfeld threatened retribution against the UK if it did not. Could Colin Powell's resignation have tipped the balance in the UK, leaving the US alone to invade Iraq? Well, we can consider that, but be that as it may, Pat, even if it didn't stop the war, even if it didn't stop the invasion, it would have been a moral stand by Colin Powell, and a man who built himself on being not just an effective man, but a moral man, a decent man. He set aside morality on that day, and the cause of morality is always one to be upheld, whatever the political or economic consequences are going to be afterwards.
Well, you mentioned that media outlets in the United States are kind to him today. Finally, do you think history will be kind to Colin Powell?
I think history will come back on the idea of the double legacy. I think it will come down on the double legacy of Colin Powell, you know, as a person, as a representative of a community, an African-American community, who was well-liked, well-respected, who was competent, who was intelligent, but at the same time, who as a man was involved, whether or not you want to use the word complicit, in some of the deadliest decisions of the 20th and 21st centuries. In other words, Colin Powell as a loyal soldier embodied American foreign policy that at its best could protect, could serve, could be just, but at its worst could lead to death, deprivation, and the ultimate betrayal of values.
Scott Lucas, Professor of International Politics at the University of Birmingham, Editor-in-Chief of EA Worldview, thank you very much for joining us.